shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I'm trying to think what I had to eat today, you know. Anyway, welcome back to our program, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't.
What are you doing, man? You setting some record?
Maybe. We got one more hour, actually 55 minutes left in our three-day Free Phil weekend, and it's been fun. It's been more than fun. One of the things that was happening over this past weekend is I got a lot of Twitter feedback. People that were accessing the site and enjoying the hell out of it were quoting shows, and they were telling me, oh, man, I found that show that I liked. I found this other show that I liked. I found that one line. I was looking for this one thing. And got a lot of feedback from people on that level. And then just a lot of nice comments. Watching the old video casts, people are actually going back and looking at our video casts. Now, we only have a five-day video cast archive, but we have the regular shows archived. And, of course, you can take the daily podcast that we make available through iTunes or through our website as well. So backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show website is worth it because it's the largest single repository of audio and, I think, video of any radio show in history. I will go ahead and make that statement. I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, why do you want to make that statement? I don't know if it's true.
Well, look it, man. Think about it. Who the hell else has put the work into archiving the audio of their show like we have? The answer? Nobody.
What about Arthur Godfrey?
What about Arthur Godfrey? What are you talking about, man?
Well, ain't he on radio?
He was, and I don't know if he had. Was he on every day for 3 hours? And if he was on every day for 3 hours, is all that stuff archived?
I don't know, man. I don't think it is. Yeah, but you can't be sure. What about what about Dave Linkletter?
Art Linkletter.
Art Linkletter.
What about him? I don't know if he was on radio. And if he was, again, same question. 3 hours, all of it archived? I don't know. And you can name anybody. Go ahead, Jack Benny. Whoever the hell you want, it ain't the same, okay?
Yeah, well, you talk about Jack Benny. What about, like, Wolfman Jack?
Now, there's a good example, Wolfman Jack. Now, there's a guy that should have had every single show that he ever did archived. All hours of the Wolfman Jack show should have been archived. They should be available somewhere. Are they?
I bet you they are.
I bet you they're not. I'll bet you they're not for a number of reasons. Number one, did Wolfman Jack own that material? Who owned that material? Probably the radio stations that he worked for. And guess what? They probably took it, you know, did whatever. They probably threw it in a garbage dump. For all I know. You think anybody knew how valuable that tape would be someday? No. Do you think anybody cared that Wolfman Jack's great work should be preserved so that we could go back and have fun and listen to those shows again? No.
Man, I'd like to hear Wolfman Jack. I've never heard a whole show of his.
Yeah, well, good luck hearing a whole show of Wolfman Jack. There's got to be someplace. But I'm willing to bet that there are... if there is Wolfman Jack radio shows available, I bet you they're only in hour length, maybe an hour, maybe a couple of segments. But the whole Wolfman Jack show, that cat was on for, like, how long was that guy on for?
I don't know.
Get Harvey Weirman, he'd probably know.
What are you talking about?
Get Harvey Weirman, he'd probably know.
Yeah, call him up. I bet you Harvey Weirman would probably know how long Wolfman Jack had been on, or how long Wolfman Jack would stay on. Maybe he's still alive?
Wolfman Jack is not alive. No, no. Is that him?
Yeah. Mr. Weirman? Yeah.
Hey, Harvey, how you doing?
Yeah, I was doing all right. I got a call, and I'm having a bad time. I had a toothache, so I've stopped off here at the Daily Grill. And give me a couple of good doers. Two fingers of doers. Hey, you. Hey, well, Phil, just a minute. I'm getting a drink. I'll be right with you.
All right.
Hey, light touch. That's right, you. Two fingers at... No, I don't want any of that gate. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, my medicine.
Oh, how's your tooth?
I don't know, but I was doing some work here. I'm over in Bill Stiefer's office, so we were doing some work, and my tooth started killing me, so I said I'm going to walk down the street and get a drink and see if I can't kill the thing, you know. So
Well, we were going to ask you, do you know if any of Wolfman Jack's shows are available?
If any of, who?
Wolfman Jack.
Oh, Wolfman Jack. I don't know if any of those shows, there's got to be someone that recorded them, obviously, I'm sure, but...
Well, do you know who owns those shows?
I don't. I think that the individual radio stations that he worked for, whatever the company was, you know, would own it.
And do you know the names of those companies?
Well, I don't, because, first of all, the radio stations in question were American-owned. American companies that leased the signals from Mexico, because these were the superstations over the border in Mexico, you know.
Right.
And one was the down there in Texas, Las Cruces, I think. It had a lot of power, but I don't know if Wolfman Jack owned a... Hold on for a minute. I got to take another drink. My tooth is killing me. Oh! You know, I was over at Margaret and Frank's, and she had some of that chewy candy, and I bit into one, and it was like someone took... It's like someone just took a railroad spike and drove it right through my jaw.
God, that must have hurt.
Yeah.
Well, did you know, not to bother you anymore, Frank, I'm sorry your tooth hurts.
No, it's all right.
Did you know after Wolfman Jack left radio and went to the Midnight Special, for instance, remember when he was doing that?
Well, yeah, and he did the movie, you know.
He did American Graffiti.
Yeah, he did American Graffiti, and he got some money for that, and he got... but he was a very smart guy, because what he started to do was promote concerts and stuff, you know, promote the oldies but goodies and all of that.
Right.
But as far as the radio shows in those days, nobody saved anything. They took it and they threw it in the garbage, just like you said, you know. If you find tapes of old radio shows, they were simply saved by people that were, you know, aficionados of it, but they didn't...
Not like today, huh?
What do you mean, not like today?
Well, like, for instance, there's some people that... you know, some people, like, we archive our show.
You archive your show?
Yeah.
Well, I don't, yeah, your show's fine. It, you know, I don't understand why anybody saves a radio, TV shows, yeah, but radio shows, you know. What am I going to do, sit there and listen to it like some old weirdo? I'd rather be watching...
Some people might want to listen to it, but the advent of the iPod, all things have changed.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, everything has changed now with the iPod, man. Everybody is listening to everything. And with an iPod, of course, you're playing the music that you like. You can load in a few Phil Henry shows. You can load in some other audio, some other spoken word stuff. Put in some more music.
I don't understand any of that garbage. You know, all I know is I go home at night and I watch the TV and then I... You know, but I will tell you that Wolfman Jack, if he were alive today, he would have, and he, with his brains, he would have owned all that stuff. There's no question about it.
All right, well, Frank, I hope your tooth feels better.
Yeah, I do too. I'm going to get in the car and drive home, and I've been, you know, pulling. I've been pulling some pretty late hours, but I don't.
How old are you now?
None of your business.
All right, well, I'm sorry, but you're drinking and you're driving late.
Okay, I'm old and I'm drinking and I'm driving late, so that must mean I'm going to kill someone.
No, it doesn't mean that at all. I'm just going to say be careful.
Look, don't tell me what to do. One of the things I can't now see, now I'm going to want to drive someone. One of the things I can't stand is being told what to do.
All right, yeah, well, you go ahead and run somebody over.
I think I'm going to. I don't.
We're going to. We'll take a break here. The Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back in our news and information hour. That's the last time I ever call that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Radio.
Yeah, I know. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Here is Jeff Dowder on the line with us. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Mr. Henry. I was going to comment on something I heard you say earlier about the fear of dying, and you were talking about how there's a lot of senior citizens who, you know, they don't have no fear of it. And I could tell you that I've done a lot of work with seniors as a mechanical physicist and done some sort of outreach work from Caltech. And I just want to comment on it, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you said that a lot of seniors are not, you know, you get to a certain point in life where you're not really afraid of dying, you know. And that is true, and if I could say, you were kind of saying about yourself.
No, that's all right. I was talking to the guys, and I said, you know, it must be part of the normal cycle of life because I am not really afraid of dying. I mean, I when I was younger, yeah, you know, but now, and I'm not saying that my life sucks or anything. I'm just saying, wow, it's sort of a part of the cycle of life that you live, and then you're sort of looking, well, it sounds morbid, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, here's the thing that I think you should really consider, and it's this. You say you're not afraid of dying, but you used an example.
Oh, I was using the example with the guys. I said, are you afraid of you know, going to the bathroom? Of course you're not. It's the cycle, you know.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was going to say, because I heard what Chris said, and he's right on about it, you know.
Yeah, but he was joking.
Well, I don't think the example that he gave is such a joke. When you say, are you afraid of going to the bathroom, and he said, it depends on what I had for dinner, and I know people are going to laugh, but if you think about that, it's something you're going to avoid. And if you had for dinner, and I can give you an example of an example, like I had one time a jalapeno. I had a stuffed jalapeno. If you've ever had that, that's a full jalapeno pepper, and it was stuffed with spices and cheeses. So there were two things going on. There was the fact that there was cheese, and it was spicy. And
okay, fine. So you were going to have a hard time going to the bathroom, and so what's the point?
Well, the point that I'm making is that you're afraid of it, and, you know, there's fear. There's real fear. And you said you're not afraid of a normal process.
You're not so afraid of going to the bathroom that you're going to walk around the block, that you're going to go to a psychiatrist, are you?
Well, I don't know what you mean.
In other words, if you're afraid of dying, so afraid of dying that you have this palpitating heart and you're afraid, and maybe you go to a psychiatrist, maybe you don't, but it's a real issue, and if you'll pardon the expression, it impacts your life.
What do you mean impact? Like, blocks up your colon.
Okay, man. You know, if this turns into some juvenile rap about...
No, I mean, I'm just... You were saying that if you're...
What I'm saying is if you're afraid of dying to the point where it becomes a psychological issue, then that's real fear. But, okay, and I think that that's a very significant thing. You say that going to the bathroom...
I'm not talking about going... I'm not talking about number one. I'm talking about number two.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
If you have a fear of going number two, as you put it, to the point where you got to go to a psychiatrist...
Mr. Henry, all I'm saying is if you had a cheese-loaded jalapeno.
If I had a cheese-loaded jalapeno, I'm not going to go to a psychiatrist and tell the guy what a painful bowel movement, if you'll pardon the expression, it is that I'm going to have, and I'm just so avoiding it, and I just thought I'd sit down, Doc, and tell you about that.
I mean, sure, you can laugh if you want, but I've spent 5 years working with senior citizens.
On what? On going to the bathroom?
No, sir, on the fear of death.
Okay, that's that's an admirable thing. But to say that death, people fear it, and that it's a normal cycle of life, and you fear normal cycles the same way you fear going to the bathroom, is ridiculous.
You gave an example.
No, you're the one that gave the example.
No, all right. I gave the example of a jalapeno that I had eaten a jalapeno that had been loaded up. Okay.
Yeah, you ate a jalapeno that had spicy cheese in it, and you were telling me that it was going to be painful. Did you go to a psychiatrist?
No, sir.
Okay. Did you have to, go through some kind of therapy before you went to the bathroom?
No, sir. I did not.
Okay. Then your example sucks.
Well, I don't think it does, and I think that that's kind of rude, but, you know, I still like your show anyway, Mr. Henry, and thank you very much for hearing me.
Okay, thank you.
Ass.
Okay, you know.
I know.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
That about people being a troll?
Now, he ain't a troll. He's just some cat that called in, had to get his parting shot in. You know, I don't, look at, I am not going to sit here and have a big, long discussion about the heavy metaphysical implications of death or life or anything else. All I said, and it's much more of a natural feeling than anything else, you know, it's like I just feel very, I feel cool. I don't feel bad. I feel good, you know.
Yeah, you feel good about dying.
No, I don't feel good about dying. I'm telling you, this part of my life, the part of my life that I'm in right now, I'm not particularly hung up about, okay? That's all I'm trying to say. As I reach the end of my 50s, I'm not freaking out. And you know, and for this guy to say, well, you know, it's normal to be afraid of those things. Look at how afraid I am of having a bowel movement after I ate a cheese-loaded jalapeno with heavy spices. Is he kidding?
Well, I don't know, man. But, you know, the more you think about it, have you ever had fear of that?
No, I haven't. Don't be ridiculous. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you guys a story. And I shouldn't, because you clowns will probably think, oh, wow. When I was in my younger days, we were over at that place, Seppi's, over there in West Hollywood. You know the place? Not West Hollywood. It's in Westwood Village, folks, and it's near UCLA. It's in what is known as Westwood Village, which is this business or commercial district near the University of California, Los Angeles campus. And there are restaurants and there are bars and there's places, obviously, with the students and other people who live in the area, who live in West LA, will go there, especially on a Friday or Saturday night, because there's a couple of movie theaters there. The Bruin is there. And I don't know, there's some nice restaurants. I don't know what possessed us, but we were in there one night many years ago. I was in my 20s. And we saw a sign on the wall that said, and this was a ridiculous thing, but this is what you do when you're young. I think it said something like the pitcher drinking record for Seppi's was some ridiculous number, okay?
Yeah.
And we decided that we would break, was it the pitcher drinking record? Or was it the, no, it was the pitcher drinking record. We decided that we would break the pitcher drinking record. Well, in the process of doing that, they had bowls of jalapeno peppers. And as we drank these beers, for some reason, I don't know why, I wanted a jalapeno pepper really bad. And I had one. And they weren't the pepperoncinis. These were jalapeno peppers. And
man, I thought you couldn't take that stuff.
I didn't think so either. To this day, I can't eat them. And maybe this is why. To this day, I can eat jalapenos. I like the taste of them, but I can't eat them the way I ate them that night. And we ate one jalapeno pepper after the next, bowl after bowl after bowl, throughout this afternoon, this one afternoon sitting there in this deli. And I don't want to get graphic.
Man, it must have been like napalm coming out.
I said I don't want to get graphic. But let me just put it to you this way, man. Burned, oh man, it burned.
I bet it did, man.
Wow. And, you know, it was one of those things where, kind of like what Chris said, you know, you wake up the next day and you're, I don't know, maybe you had some breakfast or you're reading the paper or you're having a cup of coffee and you go, oh, wow, yeah, it's that time of the morning, you know.
Top of the morning to you.
Yeah, top of the morning to you. So you go and you suddenly, almost at the moment that you sit down, you go, oh, yeah, that's right.
But you remembered.
I started to remember. Not that I'd forgotten, blacked out or anything, but I, you know, had been drinking these beers, and I knew that I'd been eating jalapeno peppers, but it suddenly struck me with the full force of the full force of how memory can strike you. Wait a minute, man! I'd been eating jalapeno peppers last night by the bucket, by the carload, and almost as that thought hit my brain, nature took its course. And napalm? That's a pretty good description, yeah.
Yeah, gasoline napalm, man.
Well, like, let me put it to you this way. It broke me of any inclination that I would have in the future, at present, or any other time, to eat jalapeno peppers like a moron like that. And I've seen people who can eat them. And I had a pepper-eating contest. I've often brought this up. When I was on the air in Miami, we had a pepper-eating contest at a local radio station. The guy that won was a dude from Jamaica. And the reason why he won is he had been raised on Scotch bonnets, otherwise known in Southwest here as habanero. And that's the hottest damn thing.
What's a habanero?
Those round peppers?
Yeah, they're red.
They're red round peppers, yeah. This dude was eating the jalapenos and said, man, you can really take those jalapenos. He goes, you don't understand. This is nothing. Haven't eaten those scotch bonnets. We're going to be right back on the Phil Henry Show 25 years later. The 1985 Bears get to meet the president, not just Reagan.
Phil Henry.
Or, I mean, just not Reagan.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
My apologies again. Welcome back, Phil Henry Show here. I was talking about food and jalapenos and going to the to get a physical, you know, because what I'm doing is I'm going to finally attack. It's a promise that I've made myself before my next birthday. I'm going to get back down to my, if you'll pardon the use of the term, fighting weight. As we all like, is our fighting weight. What is my fighting weight? What do you think it is, bud?
280 pounds.
Are you trying to be a smartass or something?
I don't know.
200 pounds. I'm perfect at 200 pounds. Well, I'm a long way from that, man. However, I'm going to get there, and I'm going to do it the right way. All right, I went to the doctor. I'm going to have a full physical, get the whole metabolic thing down, get that whole glucose tolerance test thing going. Figure out what the hell is going on here, there, somewhere else. And then, after I do that, I'll eat nothing but peanut butter. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to...
I was going to say, man, probably eating peanut butter would be good for you.
Well, I don't know, eating peanut butter. But this doctor is big on whey protein, and I guess those are a lot of smoothie shakes, jazz. I don't know, you know. But nonetheless, I was talking about that, and I went to the doctor's office today, and I don't think I had a damn thing to eat. So as we got into this hour, I suddenly felt myself... I had a little bit of a blood sugar thing going on, you know. So I went and I made myself a couple of sandwiches of, let's see, what do I have here? Chicken parmesan. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, man, go out and make yourself a big fat sandwich.
Just have a chicken fat.
I put a piece of lasagna between two pieces of bread. No, I didn't. I'm having a peanut butter sandwich. And it's protein and a high fiber bread and like that, okay?
Too much talk about bowel movements, man.
I know, I agree. All right, 25 years later, the 1985 Bears, and I misspoke when I went to the break. I didn't mean to say they. I think I said not just Reagan, just not Reagan. What I meant to say was the 85 Bears went to the White House and they met President Obama. The 1985 Bears, 25 years after their visit to the White House as Super Bowl champions, was canceled because of the space shuttle tragedy. The Challenger tragedy. I don't remember that. I don't remember the Bears being canceled out. The 1985 Chicago Bears will get to see the president. The president they will greet, of course, is very different from the president they would have been greeted by in early 1986. That president, Ronald Reagan, was a Republican from California. This president, Barack Obama, guess what? He's a Democrat from...
Chicago.
The Challenger exploded shortly after takeoff on January 28, 1986, just 2 days after the Bears had defeated the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 20. Wow, that I don't remember it being that close to the Super Bowl, but I guess it was. President Obama is a noted sports fan, and he proclaims his love for Chicago sports teams often. Earlier this year, he greeted the 2010 Super Bowl champion Green Bay Packers by lamenting their defeat of the Bears on the way to the championship. I'm just going to have to come out and say it, Obama said as he met with the Packers. This hurts a little bit. You know, you guys come from my house. He says, you know, you guys come into my house to rub it in, he continued. But what are you going to do? Go to former Bears coach Mike Ditka's house? The 1985 Bears team will visit the White House on Friday, October the 7th, according to the White House. I bet you there'd be some people who really got some problem with Obama saying that he's a partisan sports fan. But hey, that's being a sports fan. I don't remember any president coming out and being super for any team. Do you?
I thought Ronald Reagan liked the... Oh, you know what? Richard Nixon liked the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, didn't Nixon... He even called up George Allen and said, here's what you got to do.
No. He didn't call it. What he did was he got...
Yeah, he did.
No, hold on, bud. He didn't tell him you got to do this. He called up George Allen. I remember, you're right. Richard Nixon called George Allen, who was then the head coach of the Washington Redskins, before the Super Bowl against the Dolphins, the one that the Dolphins won to go 17-0, that Super Bowl. And he called up George Allen and suggested a play. And
what did he do, like call him up in the middle of the night or something?
I don't know. It was probably in conjunction with some other conversation they were having, like, you know, congratulations, coach, on winning the whatever, and, you know, good luck in the Super Bowl. But apparently he did suggest it, and apparently George Allen used it. Now, what the play was, I can't quite remember. There may be some people who... I've got a general idea. I know... I'm pretty sure it was used, and I'm pretty sure I know the play. I think it was an end-around or a reverse. It was a wide receiver reverse, one of those things.
What's that?
It's when... You know what it is, Robert, right?
Yeah, it's when the quarterback goes back, gives the ball to the wide receiver.
I think that was it. Yeah, he drops back. You hand the ball off to one receiver. The receiver runs one way, and the other guy gets and goes the other way.
What?
Don't worry about it, bud, okay? It exists. The guy drops back. Here comes the receiver this way. Gives it to him. The receiver runs that way, and there's another guy coming this way.
What are you talking about, man? You sound like you're missing a chromosome or something.
No, man.
Hold on. Look, if you don't follow football, then you know what I'm talking about, okay?
I follow football sometimes, just not follow it this year, because I don't care about it.
Yo, that makes sense. Wow. Anyway, that was George Allen, yeah. That was Richard Nixon. Now, I don't recall anybody else. I don't remember Clinton giving a sweet, good, sweet ding-dang. That's about it. I don't remember any. You know, it's funny. I know that presidents throw the baseball out at the beginning of baseball. You know, at the beginning of the season, they always throw it out. But I don't remember any president other than Obama with the thing with the bear. I don't know of any president that really. Kennedy was into sports, but I don't know that he had a team. You know,
what do you mean?
Well, Kennedy was into the Kennedys would play touch football, and they sailed.
Didn't you say that John Kennedy smoked Salem cigarettes? That's bitching.
Whatever, man.
What's so bitching about it?
That's cool that he did.
Whatever, man. Yeah, he smoked Salem cigarettes, Kennedy. And I wonder how many presidents smoked. Obama smokes.
What do you think he smoked?
Cigarettes?
Yeah.
I don't know. Marlboros, something like that?
Yeah, he's a black guy, so he probably smokes menthol. And shut up, man.
Come on, will you?
Just kidding.
Yeah. Well,
what kind of cigarettes does Obama smoke? He's a black guy. They're probably menthol.
Man, that's racist.
Oh, you're laughing, too. Don't give me that crap. You think they're cools?
I don't know.
I don't know why that's funny, man, but it's just killing me. Anyway, so Obama, I don't know what he smokes. How many presidents smoke cigarettes? We know that Kennedy smoked cigarettes. I saw a film clip of Eisenhower who smoked cigarettes during World War II. Of course, I'd smoke cigarettes then too, man. I don't know whether Eisenhower smoked when he was president. Johnson, did he smoke? Nixon didn't smoke. Nixon was a Quaker, and I say that with all due respect. Are Quakers...
I don't think Quakers are allowed to smoke or dance.
Yeah.
You don't think Quakers are allowed to smoke or dance?
Yeah, they're the ones that can't dance, I think.
Yeah, they can't smoke, They can't smoke and they can't dance.
They can't smoke and they can't dance because it's against their religion?
No, they just don't know how to.
Will you guys get serious?
Yeah.
They don't know how to. Reagan didn't smoke. Carter didn't smoke. Carter famously didn't smoke cigarettes because Carter, when he got into the White House, and a lot of you are too young to know this, but after the Watergate thing of the 70s with Nixon, after the Vietnam War, after the horrible, horrible things the country had been through, and we've been through some tough, tough stuff, when Carter became president, it turned into a real squeaky clean deal. He served grits in the White House. That, not that that was a bad thing, but I don't think they had booze, did they?
I don't think they're allowed to have booze, but they did have Billy Beer.
Yeah, remember that?
Well, that wasn't... Yeah, I remember. In fact, I had a can of Billy Beer. Carter was a teetotaler. That's it. And don't ask me what that's about, bud, okay? I can't answer every question you got, okay?
I just wonder what it means.
It means you don't drink. So Carter didn't drink, and he also eschewed all of these fancy-ass balls and all that jazz, right? Because he thought that that was a part of a sort of decadent White House era of Nixon. And he wanted to reestablish in the hearts and the minds of the American people a hardworking president and a guy that was not about partying, a guy that was all about the job, right? And I got to say, that was Jimmy Carter to a T, and I'm not kidding you. President Carter, and was it an effective presidency? No, it was not. If we had compassion for the man, could we say, well, at least I appreciate what the guy's doing? Yeah, because during the whole hostage crisis, when the hostages were in Iran, and we had these Americans that were sitting in an embassy in Iran, taken over by these Iranians, everybody was pissed off, everybody wanted to drop an A-bomb on Iran, and Carter never left the White House. It was called, when he was running for president, they said it was his Rose Garden strategy, meaning he never left the Rose Garden. He never left the White House to campaign because he was so intent on making sure that he was dotting all his I's and crossing his T's when it came to these hostages and all the other problems that the country was having. And the country was having some. We'd just come out of Nixon with the Watergate thing, and now we were into a horrible economy. And Carter, true to his word, stayed in the White House and worked his ass off, and he never stole a freight train, and he was just a beautiful guy, and he was moral, and he was upstanding, and he got his ass kicked by Reagan.
That must mean people don't care about that.
No, that's not what that means.
Well, why wouldn't you respect a man like that? I would vote for a man like that.
Yeah, you want to vote for a guy like that? The problem is that President Carter was a good man. A lot of people thought he was too liberal. If you take away his politics, he was a guy who worked his ass off. He did. I'll never forget when Reagan got sworn in that day. As long as I live, I'll never forget the look on Carter's face. You knew he hadn't slept all night. He had not slept a wink because they were deathly afraid that the Iranians were going to pull some stunt. The Iranians were supposed to release the hostages, and we were going to unfreeze Iranian assets, and they would not release the hostages until Carter was out of office. They did not want Jimmy Carter to have that pleasure. But by the same token, they knew that they had Ronald Reagan coming in, and Reagan had already said, you're not going to get a better deal from me. If you guys think I'm going to sit down and negotiate with your ass, it ain't going to happen. So they knew they had to let him go. And Carter had been up all night, and the look on his face, he was tired, man. And you could tell. And he had 4 years of the worst presidency a guy could have. You know?
Yeah, I heard he sucked.
Well, yeah, he did as a president. But it wasn't because he wasn't a good guy or any of that jazz. You know, his policy sucked. I mean, he had what the hell do you call it? Camp David Accords, where he had Egypt and Israel, signed a peace treaty. That, was pretty heavy. And that's a very big thing. And the Panama Canal, I think, I don't know what the hell happened. But in any event, why am I even talking about this?
You're talking about sports.
Oh, yeah. Well, Carter, I don't think that cat likes sports at all. But he didn't drink nothing. So when Reagan came in, this is what I was going to tell you. The Reagans started having parties, man, and they were drinking, $500 bottles of champagne, and they were 30-year-old scotch. And
really?
I don't know. I'm kidding. But, I mean, you can well imagine. And they had tuxedos, and they had parties. The Reagans brought all of that back. And as it turned out, and this is the thing about the American people, we wanted that. See, we were disgusted with Watergate, yes. And we were disgusted with all of the crooks and all of the criminality and all of the breaking of the trust between the people and the government. It was just, it was horrible, and it made us sick. But that didn't mean that we didn't want a party, and we didn't want to have a president who was eating grits and drinking Billy Beer, man. That ain't the thing,
Uh-uh.
Oh, and so anyway, when Reagan became president and the party was back on again, everybody was kind of, I think people were relieved from that. I'm not talking about whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. I think people just relieved to see a few people having some laughs again in the White House, you know. All right, we're going to come back. Guess who's set to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show? I'm not going to tell you. But if you open your mouth, I'll kill you. I'll kill you where you sit, okay?
Yes, sir.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Young broadcasters of America and the world, this is Phil Hendry reminding you, don't eat peanut butter sandwiches when you're on the air.
You gotta be kidding me, man.
Mm-mm. I did. I ate. But that's the kind of Monday we're having. What can I tell you? It's the kind of Monday we're having. It's like it's a Monday I forgot to eat. So I had to have a peanut butter sandwich. And they're good.
You're eating Jiffy?
No, it's not Jiffy. I believe it's Skippy.
How come they all have the end and why? Why don't they have some of the end with, like, why don't they call it, like, Jeff's Peanut Butter?
Yeah, let's. Why don't you start the company, Jeff's Peanut Butter? I don't know why they're called Skippy and Jiffy. I think it's because kids like peanut butter, and kids like words that end with Y.
What?
They do. Kids like any word that ends with Y. Happy, lucky, sappy, silly, Jiffy, Skippy.
Nappy?
Nappy.
Get out of here. Uh-huh. You said it, too. That's racism.
I can say it. I'm black.
Yeah, that's right, man. Anyway, Madonna reportedly set to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show, and that would be Super Bowl XLVI. That would be 46. Super Bowl 46.
How do you know that?
Because the X, do you know how to read Roman numerals? L is 50. Any number that's in front of the L, you subtract from the 50. So if it says XL, that L is 50 minus X is 10. And X is a 10. So that's 40. Then you take the numeral after that, V, which is a 5, and 1, which is a 1. So L minus 10 is 40. 50 minus 10 is 40, plus 6. Super Bowl 46.
Did you take that in school?
Yes, as a matter of fact, Bud, I did in grade school. Okay?
Well, I mean, what do you mean grade school?
That's when I learned that, grade school. You don't go to college for that jazz. You guys crazy?
We never learned it.
I'll bet there's a lot of stuff you didn't learn. It's useless information, but every now and again when you're watching a TV show and it says copyright XXMM, you know.
Yeah, I was wondering what that means. Is that the year?
Yeah, that's the year that the movie was made. So if you see, like, you'll often see that, as a matter of fact, on TV shows. You'll see X, you'll see L, X. That's 60. Okay? Or you'll see, maybe you'll see LV1, that'll be 56. LV2, 57, and on and on we go. All right, more than 7 years later, it's safe to say the NFL has officially moved from the wardrobe malfunction. Yes. For the second straight year, the Super Bowl stage is set to welcome a female performer with sex appeal as the 2004 incident with Janet Jackson continues to fade away. Never again will we have to see that woman and her wardrobe malfunction, her big fat... I'm kidding.
Poor Janet Jackson, man. Nobody's going to give her respect.
What do you mean nobody gives her respect? What is that supposed to mean? Janet Jackson is loved the world over. Her music is listened to by millions and millions of people. She could put a concert on today in the Philippines.
Yeah, you said the Philippines. What about America?
Well, are you telling me, man, she can't pull nobody here?
Depends on what you mean by pull.
I mean, do you think she could sell out an arena here?
Yeah, sure she could sell out an arena here. With enough advance notice.
You're saying nobody wants to see her.
No, I'm kidding. No, of course they do.
You're serious?
I'm dead serious. Of course they do. Janet Jackson, what are you talking about? Am I serious? Yes. Janet Jackson is a bona fide smash hit. Is she as big as her brother was? No, of course not. But she is in her own right a smash hit. I mean, she has a bunch to be proud of. So, the wardrobe malfunction will go down as a footnote. Nobody's going to remember it. People will remember her music. And she had some good songs. I can't right now think of any, but I'm kidding. She had some good songs. Anyway, consider that when comparing her career to Madonna's, Jackson has been far less controversial outside of her revealing too much in a Super Bowl XXX 38 show with Justin Timberlake. Madonna has been never one to shy away from controversy, and Madonna is planning on showing her ass. She'll have a wardrobe malfunction, and her butt will, you know, come flying out. And being Italian and being a woman who's in her 50s now, I think, isn't she?
I don't know.
Well, yeah. It's going to be a pretty big ass. So, thank you, Madonna. Hey. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by me, Phil Hendry, along with Dan Northcraft. Wait, Don Naylor's with us this week. Or Dan, are you back? I forget. Dan? Don? Is it Don or Dan? Is it Deanna? Oh, it's Dan. Okay. I'm sorry, man. Chris Johnson and, of course, Fred Scotty and me, Phil Hendry. And until tonight, time for another show. Have a good day. From all of us at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and thanks for listening to our 3-day free Phil weekend. Ow!
Phil Hendry.